Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Relationship Pod YouTube channel. If you're new here, my name is Sarah Boutros. I am a relationship coach that helps women stop questioning their worth so they can build more secure and fulfilling relationships. This is a one-stop shop where we talk all things relationship, relationship with yourself, relationship with your others, including inner child healing, setting boundaries, people pleasing, how to communicate, how to build security, and so much more. So if this is up your street, be sure to hit the subscribe button. This year, I'm going all in on making more long form content for you guys on the YouTube. So if you don't want to miss it, make sure you follow. In today's video, I'm going to be answering a bunch of questions that people over on my Instagram asked me. We're going to be talking about how to spot a narcissist, can you create a healthy relationship if you're insecure, and so much more. So the first question is, how do you uncover a narcissist woman? And how do you deal with it? Hello from Greece. Hello from Dubai. I want to preface answering this question with a couple of really important footnotes, if you want to call it. I will give you common characteristics of somebody that has narcissistic personality disorder, but I really want you to try not to put somebody in a box or label them as one, unless you are a mental health professional that is doing a real assessment on this person. Because at the end of the day, everybody has narcissistic qualities, even me. And just because somebody might have one, two, or three of these things, it doesn't immediately make them a narcissist. So take what I say with a pinch of salt. Hopefully it gives you some sort of clarity that you're looking for. But instead of asking yourself, is this person a narcissist? The better question to ask yourself is, regardless of what this person is, does their behavior work for me or not? Then act accordingly based on that, rather than slapping a label onto it. Because at the end of the day, whether they're a narcissist, a sociopath, or they're just an asshole, it doesn't actually change anything about them, nor does it give you the tools to try and change them. But you do have full control over yourself, your own boundaries, your relationship choices, and what you decide to do with them. I also want to say that I am also not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and I don't have the correct assessment tools to be able to classify someone, but I'm happy to present you with what I've learned from my own experiences and findings in the research that I've read. One of the early warning signs that you might be dealing with a narcissist is if they start your relationship with excessive charm, flattery, and attention. If they're buying you gifts after one date, telling you that they want to spend the rest of their life with you after only knowing you for a month, and saying that you're their soulmate when they hardly know you, that is a big tail sign that they are love bombing you, and it is a huge red flag. This is so much more grand than just initial excitement of the early stages of dating. And this is one of the things that actually makes it really hard for some people to leave a narcissist, because they will put everything into the relationship at first, and then all of a sudden they will start to devalue you and discard you once they feel like you're no longer serving their needs or whatever role they wanted you to fit in their life. It can leave you feeling pretty blindsided and wondering, like, where the hell did that person go? One of the other signs is that they have an inflated sense of self-importance, and they believe they are so much more special and unique and superior to other people. They expect special treatment from everyone and act like an angry little five-year-old if they don't get it. You'll also notice that they happily disregard anybody's boundaries and needs if it doesn't fit with their agenda. Lack of empathy is another huge one. They struggle to recognize or care about other people's feelings, which makes it really hard to connect with them emotionally. If you're consistently noticing that they're invalidating your feelings or dismissing other people's feelings, making fun of them, this could be a huge sign that they're lacking in empathy. They also need a lot of admiration and attention to feel secure. When they don't get it, they might lash out, withdraw, or start manipulating you, using guilt tripping, gaslighting, or emotional blackmail to control you. If their needs always come first no matter what, that's another telltale sign. They also really struggle to have difficult conversations or take any responsibility. The smallest amount of criticism will send them into an explosion because it's a huge threat to their ego. Instead of actually looking at their part in any situation, they will project blame onto other people instead of accepting responsibility. Those are the more common characteristics associated with narcissistic personality disorder. And if you know someone that you feel is lying on that spectrum very highly, some of the things that you can do to protect yourself is really be really, really, really strong with your boundaries. At the end of the day, they can try and manipulate you, gaslight you, and say whatever they want to you. but you will always be in control of yourself and what you decide to do in that relationship. So if you feel like they're crossing the line, instead of you continuing to try and stop them from doing that, you will figure out what you will do with yourself, whether that's creating distance from the relationship, not seeing them as frequently, not setting emotional boundaries with yourself where you detach from that person and don't take what they say seriously. You might adjust their role in your life instead of having them as someone that is really close to you. Focus on what you can do instead of trying to control them, because you will not be able to control them. If they are someone that you really cannot avoid being around because they're family or because they are someone that you work with, try to be as unemotional as humanly possible when they're trying to trigger you, because they thrive off emotional drama. There's this concept called gray rocking, where you literally just turn into a gray rock when they're speaking to you. Don't show any sign of emotion or care or consideration to what they're saying. Just be blunt and just be like, okay, I hear you. Okay, got it. Because you're removing the ammunition that they usually like to work with, and you're taking control back for yourself. I'd say those are two of the most important things. And the third thing is to make sure that you are constantly validating your own experience, because narcissists love to gaslight you. They love to contort your view of reality. And it can leave you questioning yourself, doubting whether your feelings are right or wrong, questioning, like, do they have a point? You need to kill that story in your head. You've already come to the point where you've recognized that this person is narcissistic on some level, and you want to remove any sort of influence that they have over your thinking process. So if they are making you feel like you're unheard, if they are making you feel like you are dismissed or disrespected, you need to validate your own emotions. Do not expect them to understand or care, because as we mentioned before, they are seriously lacking in empathy and they don't have the skill or the capacity to do that. But if you're having to deal with them, it's important not to lose yourself in their narrative. Stay connected to what you feel, validate your feelings. There's no such thing as a wrong feeling. And if you are feeling something, then there's a valid reason why. So you need to hold on to that. Those are three of the major things that I would say when it comes to dealing with a narcissistic person. The reality is that unless they're aware that they're narcissistic and they're aware that it's a problem and they want to work on it, they're not going to change. So the best thing that you can do is focus on what you can do in those circumstances to protect yourself. The second question is, if I'm insecure, do I have a chance? Can I, for real, for creating a healthy relationship? I love this question. And yes, you have a huge chance. Wow, I need to slow down my thoughts and my speech. My thoughts are so fast and my speech is so slow. So sometimes I struggle to catch up with it. You would never be able to tell on my reels because I have everything scripted. So if you guys ever wondered, like, how is she so articulate? It's because I script everything. I'm freeballing this right now. So be patient with me. Do you have the potential to create a healthy relationship despite being insecure? Absolutely, you do. And it comes down to two things. First and foremost, the most important thing comes down to who you choose to be your partner. Because if you are in a relationship with somebody who is avoidant or emotionally unavailable, it's going to be a lot harder for you to create a healthy and secure relationship with them. That's not to say that it's impossible. Depending on where they are in the spectrum of the avoidance and the emotional unavailability and their own level of self-awareness plus willingness to work on it. So there's a lot of anxious people who have managed to make relationships with avoidance work only because the avoidants were willing to look at their own patterns and seek help, whether it's through reading books or going to therapy or being on board with the suggestions that the anxious, insecure person was making in order to build a more secure relationship. So, but rule of thumb, if you want to increase your chances of having a healthy, secure relationship, try to go for someone who isn't too far on the spectrum of being an avoidant. And you need someone who is emotionally available to a degree of being ready for commitment and being ready to do what it takes to make a relationship work. Because if you don't, your insecurities are going to be completely exaggerated. There's no amount of self-work that you can do on building your own confidence that will ever get rid of the anxiety and the absolute shit show that is being with someone who makes you feel confused about how they feel about you, who isn't fully committing to you, who isn't meeting your needs. So who you choose is a very big, important factor that determines the quality of your relationship. Anxious people can make relationships with anxious people work as well. Again, it also depends on like how willing are you to look at your own patterns and how willing are you to start developing more secure behaviors within that relationship. Usually what happens is that when you're in a relationship with someone who is emotionally available and wants to build a healthy relationship, secure behaviors will come as a result of that, because we actually learn how to love ourselves and how to be in relationship through being in relationship with other people. And if we have good people in our life who are reaffirming our value to us, who are making us feel loved and connected, then as a result of that, you will become secure and you will have a healthy relationship. With that being said, if you don't do the inner work on yourself too, then that will not actually be enough to heal you, because you will end up, not for certain, but you can get into the pattern of relying on them to be that source of security for you. And that's when it starts to become almost codependent and unhealthy. This is where I start to see a lot of insecure people who cannot handle distance between them and their partner, because if they are not reminded every minute of the day that their partner loves them, they will go spiraling into anxiety. And that will start to cause a lot of communication issues, because they'll be jumping in with accusations and blame. Why are you not doing this? Why don't you love me? And that starts to push the other person away. So you have to work on addressing your own fears within the relationship with yourself, either working with a therapist, challenging your belief systems, you know, asking yourself, is this really true? Could there be another explanation for this? But also addressing them with your partner and being really honest and really vulnerable and speaking from a space of saying, hey, you know, I have these insecurities. They're my insecurities. They're not your responsibility to fix, but I want you to know that this is what I'm feeling. And I want you to know that this is what I need to help me build more trust and more safety. And there's a big difference between telling somebody how they can show up for you versus being demanding and telling them, you have to text me back within 10 minutes, otherwise I'm going to lose my shit. Because that's not about letting somebody meet you where you are. That's about controlling someone to soothe your own uncomfortable emotions. So yeah, the long-winded answer is that, to conclude it in a concise and easy to digest way, if you're insecure, you absolutely can build a secure, healthy relationship with someone. It comes down to their level of emotional availability and your level of self-awareness and inner work that you do around your own triggers and fears. Hope that helps. Other question is, how did you find a self-love routine that worked for you? That's interesting. How did I find that? So the question is, how did you find a self-love routine that worked for you? Honestly, I had to try a bunch of stuff for long enough to know whether it was going to work for me or not. In the very early stages of my healing journey, I did a lot of visualization, manifestation, affirmations, and I did it for maybe about 3 or 4 months, if not longer. And honestly, I realized that that doesn't work for me. It gives me a short-term dopamine boost, you know, imagining myself as this future version of myself and feeling into what that version of me would show up like, but it didn't actually make me love myself more. If anything, it made me feel kind of shittier, because I was like, well, why am I not there yet? So I totally let that go. I know some people that kind of visualization works really well for them. It actually makes them feel more motivated to keep moving towards the kind of person they want to be. Personally, for me, it didn't work. Same with affirmations. It was like sprinkling glitter on shit. I felt terrible on the inside, and I was looking into the mirror and saying, you are worthy, you are enough. And I didn't feel anything. So I really did a lot of research, and I stayed open-minded, and I tried everything until I found what worked for me. And the framework that I've created for myself that has worked really well for me, that I use now with all my clients, is the 3 components of self-love for me that really move the needle. One is making sure that you are always celebrating the good in yourself and making sure that you are connected to the value that you are bringing to the table in your own life and to other people's life as well. Because our minds are so hardwired to seek out negatives and to look for what's wrong and what needs to be fixed, especially if you're someone who struggles with anxiety and insecurity. Because the brain's primary role is to make sure that you are surviving. And the way it does that is scanning for threats. One of our basic survival needs is connection and belonging. So you can imagine how that wreaks havoc on your own nervous system and your own self-esteem when your brain is always looking for reasons that you should hate yourself so that you can fix those things, get to the next level, and finally be worthy of love and acceptance. It's a slippery slope. I wouldn't recommend it. You really need to actively train your brain to get out of the negative thinking spiral and into seeing the good in yourself and what you're bringing to the table. The second thing is changing the way that you relate to the parts of yourself that you hate. This is often the most difficult and painful one for a lot of people because you've probably spent your whole life feeling like you're fundamentally broken. And if you're asking me this question about how do you love yourself more, it's likely that you want to start loving yourself and stop hating yourself. That in itself is you saying that you're not good enough where you are. So we want to flip that and we want to say, actually, you are good enough where you are right now. Because the biggest trap that people fall into is thinking, when I become secure and I love myself, then I will feel happy, then I will feel confident. But the reality is that when you love yourself where you are right now, and not when you get to this final destination, that is when you will feel happy, at peace, and secure. So, changing the way that you relate to the parts of yourself that you hate today by turning towards them with compassion. Recognize that all of your insecurities are trying to serve a purpose in your life, whether it's something that you learn at a young age to try and survive, whether it's something that you're being hypervigilant around now to stay safe in the world that we live in today. Whatever it is, recognizing that purpose as something that is actually positive, despite how terrible it feels. Understand what it's trying to achieve and turn towards it for what it really is, which is fear. And if you were imagining a child who is afraid, how would you relate to them? Would you immediately go into fixing mode, trying to change them or beating them up? Or would you turn towards them with reassurance and compassion to try and soothe them? So that is the relationship that you want to start creating with your own insecurities, because that's where the love grows. That's where the love grows for yourself. That's where security starts to build, when you stop running away from yourself. The third thing is around action. And this one is really multi-layered, because taking loving action in your life applies in so many different areas. It can look like learning how to speak up for your needs and set boundaries. That's an action point. It can also be making sure that you hit the gym and keeping small promises to yourself. Those are really things that are going to help you pour into yourself and protect you. And the third piece is around self-respect. And this exists on such a broad spectrum because there's a lot of things that you will do in your life to show respect for yourself. Something as simple as keeping small promises to yourself, all the way down to making sure that you are expressing your needs and setting boundaries in relationships. Because these are the ways that you will show up for you. These are the ways that you will build safety and trust with yourself by sticking to your word, taking care of yourself, whether that's going to the gym, doing yoga, eating healthy, however you choose to pour into you. And also just making sure you're protecting yourself and your relationships and advocating for yourself, taking up space. That's the kind of self-love routine that is really going to get you to self-love more than talking affirmations in the mirror or doing a bubble bath, in my opinion. But with that being said, look at what is being suggested by everyone. See what resonates with you and try everything for at least 6 months, 4 to 6 months. And notice if you are recognizing a shift in the way that you're feeling. The other question is, when you have an anxious attachment style, how do you shift from being secure? The answer to this question is very similar to the previous one, in the sense that in order to create a healthy relationship as an insecure person, you need to make sure that you are with someone who is consistent, stable, respectful, loving, and emotionally available, as well as you need to work on your own trauma and see how your anxious patterns are playing out in relationships and develop healthier coping strategies for those patterns. To add to this, what a lot of anxious people are missing in their relationships is a little bit more independence. It's a little bit more taking up space and really being connected to themselves while being connected to the other person. And the ways that you can do that is to make sure that you are always carving out time for you in the relationship, whether that's having a weekly solo day every Sunday to really just sit with yourself, even if it's to work on your patterns with a therapist or a healer, or to just do something that really fills up your cup and brings you joy. I used to go to the beach every Sunday and get my favorite ice cream and read a book and just relax and be in my own company. Because when you learn to enjoy your own company, you are able to handle distance in your relationship a lot more versus if you're expecting your partner to fill that void of fulfillment and joy for you. Doesn't mean that you're never going to need someone, because we will always need people. It just means that by developing your own independence, you'll create healthy separation in your relationship, and you will get rid of that fear of having to cling on to that person, because you know that you're actually okay to spend time on your own and you know how to fill up your own cup. So this is one of the most powerful things that you can do as an anxious person. Also, really just making an effort to stay connected to what your needs are in the relationship and not being afraid to express those needs and boundaries, because a secure relationship cannot exist without those things. It cannot exist when you continue to keep yourself small and you keep hustling for the other person's love. Because what happens is that that person is not going to even know who you truly are. And when they don't know who you are or what you need or what your boundaries are, they're not going to be able to meet those. As a result of that, you will continue to feel anxious and insecure and unfulfilled. So one way to really start anchoring that and doing that is to have a regular check-in with yourself, very similar to your solo days, is just reflecting on how the relationship is going for you. Do you feel fulfilled or unfulfilled? What areas do you feel need improvement? Where do you feel that you might be keeping yourself small? And making a conscious effort to start breaking out of that. And maybe it just starts with one conversation where you say, I'd like us to spend more quality time together during the week. Those small actions over time is what really helps you to start building a more secure relationship, especially if you are with someone, like I said, who's emotionally available, who has the capacity to honor your needs, because it will show you that actually your needs are not too much and somebody who loves you will want to find a way to make it work and to show up for you better. So solo time, getting comfortable in your own company, learning how to express your needs and set boundaries, and learning how to regulate your nervous system is so important, because if you don't feel safe in your own mind and body, that is the energy that you're going to be bringing into your relationship. There's a lot of ways to regulate your nervous system on a daily basis. You can create a resourcing practice where you have regular yoga, breath work, journaling, sessions to help ground you into the present and stay in your body. There's also a practice that is called somatic experiencing, where you learn how to expand your nervous system's window of tolerance, which essentially means that you increase your capacity for difficult emotions so that they don't blow you into like a fight, flight, freeze, or fawn state. And it helps you to renegotiate trauma in your nervous system to get rid of that looping trigger and bring your body back into safety. So that is something that I would highly recommend that you look into as well, for helping you create security in your own body, in your own mind, as a result, creating more security in your relationship. How do you know when you should leave a relationship is the question. And the answer is another question. If in the next 10 years, this person didn't change, would you still be happy in the relationship? If the answer is yes, then get curious about what is it that is making you doubt the relationship. Do you worry that maybe the grass is greener on the other side, or that maybe you're settling? Because if that's what it is, you can get really, really introspective about that and figure out what exactly is missing for you. And is that something that can be communicated to the other person to give them a fighting chance to help you grow and repair the relationship? If the answer is no, I wouldn't be happy with this person if they were the same in the next 10 years, then again, ask yourself why. Is this something fundamentally about their character? Are they showing up with disrespect? Are you feeling like you're losing yourself in the relationship? If yes, have these issues been communicated? Have they made an effort to acknowledge and work on the things that you've said? Because if they haven't, that's a clear sign that you need to walk away from that relationship. If they've acknowledged it and said that they will change, but they haven't actually done anything, you need to explore why action is not being taken. And if it continues not being taken, that is a sign to leave the relationship. If it's no, I wouldn't be happy, but I haven't actually communicated what it is that's making me unhappy, but you genuinely have love for this person and you would like to see if you can make it work, then all that needs to be had is a conversation around that. That is it for the questions that I am answering for today. Did you find them helpful? If so, leave a comment below. Tell me what was your biggest takeaway, and I will catch you in the next video.